Hey, I'm Tom Riello, the Chair of Theology at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School.
And I'm Justin Costanza. I'm the school president at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School. And welcome to Water Cooler Catechism. Tom, today we're going to talk about culture. We're going to talk about this idea that the world has its own plans, and then maybe we, the Catholic Church, have our own. How do they collide, and where do particularly our young people fall into the mix? And so culture is something that at Montgomery Catholic we spend a lot of time working on. It's something that in the youth groups, our pastors and our youth ministers spend a great deal of time addressing. And on this show, on Water Cooler Catechism, we've talked about what it means to be countercultural. And really, that's kind of what we're shooting for. But let's take it from this idea of culture, Tom. I know that we're gonna share a little scripture to set the scene, and then we'll chat for a few minutes.
Right, absolutely, Justin. Thank you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and I think these are really well worth digesting. You know, hearing the Word of God read is an important thing, but these two verses really do capture what you just introed with. Here's St. Paul, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There you have Paul telling the church in Rome that as he has given them this great treasure of the faith, he has just poured himself out through these first 11 chapters in talking about the riches that they possess in Christ and how what they have can never be taken away and how God's grace is at work and how he calls people to himself. And then in light of all that, all right, therefore, right, I appeal to you, therefore, right, what should I do? I should present my body as a living sacrifice, offering myself to the Father, and that I not be conformed to this world. One of the older translations called the Phillips translation said, do not be molded into the world's way of thinking. You know, and we are taping this at the holiday times. Right now there's a lot of baking going on in my home, and I'm sure in your home as well. And you have those molds where you make the cookie into that mold. I love that image of do not let the world mold you, because so often that's what winds up happening.
You know, and here at Montgomery Catholic, we're trying to break the mold. We're trying to be the one who inspires all of our young people to go out there and to be the one maybe that casts the mold, you know, to help fix the rest of the world. And you're right, in my house this time of year, if we're not baking, it's at least on the television. You know, there's 8,000 baking shows on TV.
And They're all teases. I want to eat that.
We're all speaking with British accents in my house because between that and the crown. We digress. But in this idea that we are breaking the mold, as you mentioned, you know, our entire experience with these young people is telling them that the world is wrong. Don't listen to what you hear. Please don't, you know, fit into this culture that's all around you. And really, we got to be more specific. We have to be more specific with our young people. And it comes down to their daily lives. And so when we talk about culture, you know, Tom, I'm the fuddy-duddy around school. Everybody knows that. And, you know, I love to focus on the little things that our young people face each day, like dress and music. Those are two things that just drive me nuts. And, you know, if you talk about music, you put kids in cars and they turn on the radio, and kids are typically unsupervised, listening to words and songs that are talking about things that some of these young people probably don't even fully understand. They're using negative language. They're using derogatory language. They're using cuss words. Men are talking about women in negative ways, and it becomes normal. It becomes the way that people talk, the way that people listen to music and what music is supposed to be. And I know we're really going to get into the weeds on just this one aspect, but it's a perfect example of what we're trying to show these young people that they need to be careful to not get sucked in by this. And then the repercussions are they think that's normal. They think that I should use this language around adults, around females, around my elders. They do think that, well, this is what this famous person says, so that is how you treat a woman. And these physical things that are described in these songs, I'm being vague because there's no nice way to say any of this stuff, but if you know anything about popular music, you know a little bit about some of the disgusting things I'm dancing around. And that becomes normal for our young people. And something you and I, Tom, talk a lot about, we did it just recently with our senior boys where we mentioned locker room talk. You know, music leads to locker room talk, and this locker room talk is something that is really echoed. It just means, hey, we don't have adults, we don't have coaches, it's just guys sitting around. And so that's locker room talk, and that can happen anywhere. It can happen in the car, it can happen while you're at home playing Xbox, talking to your buddies over your Bluetooth speakers. I don't actually even know if that works, but whatever it is that you do while you're playing the shoot 'em up games that are also now normal, by the way. And those conversations take us so far away from center that our new normal is so far away from what Christ had in mind, that mold that we wish they were in, that now the culture of society has created for them.
Right, what they call the Overton effect or the Overton window, where, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you never would have heard, like you said, music like this. And parents, and I say this to my students, and if you're a parent and you're listening to this, and if you're a Montgomery Catholic parent and you're listening to this, what Justin's talking about, if I took any lyric, that random lyric that's out there in some of this music, and I just read that lyric in class and talked about it, didn't play my hand as to what I was reading, just read it, you would rightly demand that I no longer be able to work at Montgomery Catholic. And you would be right. You would be right to do that, because it's not going to build them up. And I love something you say all the time, Justin, to become the best versions of themselves, right? And that's changing culture. I mean, music, arts, literature, all of these ways, what I consume on TV, they are culture forming. And one of the things that I love about the work that you do, and one of the things I love, for example, our football coach here at Montgomery Catholic, I love to talk about what he's done with our football program. I love to talk about what Coach Daniel Veras has done with our athletic program as a whole, is that there has been a culture of winning instilled at Montgomery Catholic. When I first got here, we were Eeyore. We were, you know, we might have a good year and win 5 games. And that was acceptable. Now, the whole approach is, no, we're going to be better than that. We may not have the best players. In fact, quite honestly, it's not like, you know, we have this influx of talent that's just came out. No, what's changed more than anything is, this is the way we're going to do it. I think that's also true at a school level. You know, when I got here, it was not uncommon to walk the halls and see backpacks everywhere. I think even your first year, you said, that ain't happening. We're not doing that, right? And now you walk the halls. You know what? If Governor Ivey were to walk in unannounced at one day at Montgomery Catholic, I'm proud of what she's going to see. I don't have to put a dog and pony show on, because I know, culturally speaking, things are changing. But it's hard to do it, because you get a lot of pushback from people who just want to go with the flow. Justin, you're being hard on these. Don't you know that this is where we're at? Well, that's that whole idea of that Overton effect. Like, whoa, 30 years ago, you'd be throwing people in jail for talking like this to your kids. Now this is the number one selling album in America that does halftime shows for the NFL.
We don't even need to talk about that. Talk about a cultural change there, too. You know, Tom, you talk about the culture of winning. You know, this has to start in the home. And so as a parent, as a man, as a Catholic faithful, what a challenge to our parents that are listening. So if you're a mom or a dad, it doesn't matter if you're a mom, doesn't matter if you're a dad, you actually create a culture in your house, in your home. And one of the things that comes to mind when I talk about this is actually all the negative. So I'll use a personal example. Just recently, Megan, my wife, and I had to go to a parent-teacher conference, which I'm actually getting very good at. Not because I'm used to being in parent-teacher conferences as an educator, but I'm getting good at them because I'm getting lots of experience as a parent. And I feel like I'm being criticized by the school, which is the school that I work at, which makes it incredibly embarrassing. As, my goodness, what goes on in your home if your student behaves this way? So, full disclosure, my oldest son, 6 years old, has a little bit of a mind of his own, says crazy stuff sometimes, has a little bit of a temper, you know, an emotional roller coaster sometimes. So we're working through some of those issues. Nothing crazy, nothing to be worried about, not really making me a hypocrite. But I think, my goodness, what does this teacher or principal think is happening at my home if this is what my son says or does at school? A couple of really dismissive statements one time, just kind of disrespectful, and that's not something that we allow in my house. Well, then, and my wife agrees. She's like, what do they think? Oh, my gosh, they're going to think we're terrible. And then I think to myself, I know that in our house, you know, we have a very faith-filled house that is imperfect in every way. Okay, that's probably the best way to say it. We're doing our best as two working parents to raise a 6, a 5, and a 3-year-old. Do we get it right all the time? No. Do we show our love to our kids emphatically all the time? Yes. What does that look like? A little bit of something different for every kid in every day in every situation. But what I do know is that in our household, we are trying our best to teach Vincent, specifically in this case, to teach these young kids that you have to love, you have to care for. And if I'm trying so hard and we're doing as well as we are, what does it look like in the houses where that's not happening? If I'm, you know, we're having the issues that we're having and we're trying so hard, what about the houses where it's not happening, Tom? That's kind of scary, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, when little Vincenzo got baptized, this is my little Pietro and Mike, my own kids, concupiscence didn't go along with it. So it always rears its head. But that's the key thing. We're not going to create these homogenized perfect cells. That's not what it means to create culture. Your children are going to learn more. My children are going to learn more probably about the love of God, especially as it's revealed in how Christ offered himself on the cross through forgiveness after a fight as a couple, an argument where, you know, you weren't really maybe the best version of yourself, but then you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, right? Pope Francis says that, right? Please, thank you, I'm sorry. If those three words were more common, our homes would be a lot better, our world would be a lot better. But those are simple solutions. We don't like simple solutions. We want to pay, you know, $1 million to some advisor to come tell us what we need to do. It's like, no, we can do these things. These are things that we can do. And I think that's what really is at the heart of culture formation. Again, going back to one of the things that we live in the state of Alabama, so I'm gonna kind of throw an audible here, but it's gonna make the, because I was gonna mention Aubrey again, but take Nick Saban. When Nick Saban showed up at the University of Alabama in 2007, the first thing he did was he got rid of all the little toys that the players had in their locker room. He got rid of it all. They did not like Coach Saban for that. Well, 5 national titles later, every kid in the country that's any kind of player, where do they want to go? And didn't we hear 20 years ago you can't win at Alabama anymore? Didn't we hear that? Well, it's about changing a culture. Well, the same is true, for example, in our diocese with vocations, I think. I don't think it's an accident that since we've had a full-time vocations director, we've got the number of vocations that we have in our diocese per capita, because a culture is being changed.
Yeah, we could do a whole show just on that idea of this culture of vocations and understanding God's call in your life. And you know, Tom, sometimes we've got to answer the call, but sometimes you got to be tuned into the right signal to hear the call, and that signal is Archangel Radio some days.
Absolutely, Justin. And if you are living in Baldwin County or Mobile County, you can listen on the car, and the way to work and across the Bayway, you know, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Or if you live in the capital of dreams like we do, you have to go to your Google Play Store or whatever, your Apple Play, whatever those Play Stores are, and download the Archangel Radio app. That is our preferred way of listening. We get to listen to wonderful shows like LA Catholic Morning with Todd and with Mike and with Ellen as they talk about all things Catholic within the church, within our local Archdiocese of Mobile. Wonderful guests on all the time like Father Steve Williams or Father Victor Ingles or even Archbishop Rohde. And then, of course, Archbishop Rohde has his own show, The Archbishop Show. Great way to keep in touch with what Archbishop Rohde is doing in our diocese. And then, of course, our little show, Water Cooler Catechism. Great thing about the app is you can actually have all the different shows logged on. So you just go onto the app and you'll have a little section, Water Cooler Catechism, or you'll have a little section, Archbishop Rohde's show. And you could actually just listen to, you know, X number of shows in a row if you want. So pretty much on demand at your pleasure, whatever you want. So great way to keep in touch with what's happening on Archangel Radio.
And infusing Archangel Radio into your life and into your home is a great way to continue to establish that culture of faith in your own life. And Tom, sometimes our culture is made by those small decisions. You know, tuning into Archangel Radio as opposed to that pop radio station, listening to Catholic podcasts instead of, again, listening to some of the modern culture music. And as young parents or grandparents, you might have the opportunity to have young people in your car and kids of all ages. You know, my nieces and nephews know, and my kids as well, they know every word to the songs that they hear, whether they are worship songs, whether they are our fun children's songs, or whether they are pop culture music songs. They know every word. So these kids we know are listening and paying attention. So take an opportunity to infuse that one little piece of Catholic culture into your daily life, and it'll pay dividends.
Yeah, it speaks to the heart. You know, St. Augustine, they say Augustine said it. We're not 100% sure, but he who sings prays twice. And I think there's something about song that really has an inviting, almost intoxicating feel. It has the ability to really set the mood for us and really make us feel up or down. And I think that's the key thing that we have lost, I think, for many, many years in the culture. I think years ago, 50, 60 years ago, a lot of people within the Christian world, Catholic and Protestant, said, you know, that world is not necessarily the safest place for me to live my faith, and I'm gonna walk away from that world. And what that did was it created a vacuum where a lot of people who don't necessarily share the values of Christianity, they're now the cultural trendsetters. Whereas we need to recapture that sense of not merely being formed by culture, but forming culture, leading the way. And if you don't lead the way, you become, there's a great phrase, you become like that which you worship. And Pope Benedict points this out in a book he wrote on the Mass years ago called The Spirit of the Liturgy. The word culture is related to the word cult, C-U-L-T, and that word is deeply tied in with the word for worship, right? So a culture forms a people who worships. You become like that which you worship. Well, you look at the things that we worship in our culture.
You know, I'm going to use your own words against you a little bit as we talk about the, let's pause on the things that we worship in our culture and think about the people that we're talking to on a daily basis right here at Montgomery Catholic. These are our young people. We've got people who you will describe sometimes, Tom, as lumpy, a little lumpy. And if you're a parent of a Montgomery Catholic student, that's not a bad thing, but it's a good description. And I want you to think about somebody who is just kind of a lump. Kind of as this lump of clay that has yet to be formed. They have not become the person God is calling them to be yet. And we think then of the other people, and I could name 50 names that come immediately to mind, who are the people that at the top of the show we mentioned, not allowing to be formed by the world, but going out there to break the mold and form themselves in Christ. You know what's so neat is if you are one of those kids who's a little bit of a lump right now, and you're around at Montgomery Catholic, all of these people who are so good at forming those themselves and those around them, you've got a chance. So there's another reason for your student. And if you're a parent and you think, man, my kid might be a lump. They might be lukewarm. They might not have felt the warm of the glow of Christ on their face yet. Whatever it may be, you can make whatever analogy you want. But in a place like Montgomery Catholic, we have both types of kids, and that's okay. So the lumps out there are being formed by those who maybe are a little more invigorated right now. And I think what invigorates them, so pause back into where you left off, is they are focusing on the right things in culture. They're not being driven by what's cute and sexy and attractive. And, you know, I know those are dangerous words, but the idea in life to be the most, whatever it is, the most famous, the most wealthy, the most attractive. And I said sexy a minute ago, and I know this is Archangel Radio and it's probably not a word that gets used on these airwaves a whole lot, but you better believe it's a word that gets used in the hallways of a high school and in the dialogues of high school and young adult people, children. They're children, they're youths. And this idea of what makes them attractive to others drives them. They focus on that in ways they shouldn't. And we see it in the way they dress, in the way they present themselves. We see it in the way that they spend their time and spend their money. And so, as you mentioned, Tom, what are they focusing on? What are they putting as the most important thing? Well, they're putting looks over who lives in their heart. They put attractiveness over how the other person actually values them, and just instead of lusting over the way that they think that they may look. And we deal with these young people all the time, and the ones who start to understand, because you can be absolutely beautiful and you don't have to put yourself out in a way that it makes you one of these items and idols that are on a shelf that you think the rest of the world is looking at and looking for and being driven by.
One of the things that I say a lot, how many times are you having conversations of consequence with your children? Because, Justin, you hit the nail on the head. They're having these conversations. Who's teaching them? Who's forming them? The culture at large. And, you know, the image of the lumpy, the student who's lumpy. What's happening there is they're very passive in the face of their humanity. And that goes back to what we said before, right? Well, if we win 4 games this year at Montgomery Catholic, we'll be happy. We will settle for less. Aubrey Blackwell comes in and says, okay, I know that that's what the culture was. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I don't know how well we're going to 2015 when he convinced those boys to play on the team. I don't know what we're going to do, but I know one day we're going to win. And if you're part of this, you're going to be part of that story. You're going to be part of changing the culture at Montgomery Catholic. And I think that is something that we have to do. What happens? You're not passive anymore. You're active. You're the protagonist of your story. You're not merely some passerby. If you don't fight against the tide, you, before you even realize what's happened, you've gone 15 feet off course. You have to, it takes effort. You have to fight it. When you fight it, when that water knocks you over and you fight it, you come back, you stay on the course. It ain't easy. So being a person who transforms culture or allows himself or herself to become proactive in their human story, they will indeed be the cultural transformers in a positive way, healthy way.
And there's a character trait that we have to point out here. It's like when we use in the hallways of Montgomery Catholic all the time, the definition of integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. Well, this idea of being one who transforms culture has a similar thread, and it's this. If you want to be the person who changes the culture where you are, it is very likely you will not be the benefactor of the change. And what I mean is, take the example, Tom, that you just said. If I'm a senior, if I'm Blake Johnson in 2015 or 2016 at Montgomery Catholic, and I'm going to be the quarterback of a team that might win 5 or 6 games, but I want to be that catalyst for change. I want to be the one who helps a team start this transformation, and here in the year 2020, Montgomery Catholic is going to make it at least to the semifinals, win the top 4 teams in the state with a potential to play for a state championship. those players on those teams in 2015 and 2016, there was only so much glory that they were going to see from their efforts. But now they stand on the sidelines, literally on the sidelines, and watch what the fruits of their labor. So they have to be selfless. You have to not indulge in whatever the effort may be so that you personally can be served, because that's not the culture we're trying to, that's the culture we're fighting. Hey, how do I make this the best place for me? The best version of myself does not only serve me, it serves this world in the way that God intended me to, because he gave me so many gifts and talents and treasures to share. And it cannot be about me or I in that instance.
Right. That's the key thing. I don't remember who said it. I know it's been said so often. It's amazing what you could accomplish if you don't really care who gets the credit. And I think that's what a winning culture is, right? That, again, I keep using sports, I keep using football because it works so well. Bill Belichick, certainly nobody's image of out there. He gives great interviews because they're so bizarre, right? One-word answers or whatever. We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. That's the famous line that he says. But he creates a culture there. And the culture that he created in New England, six Super Bowl titles over the last 20-some-odd years, it's almost a culture of anonymity. And it's not easy. In fact, you could make the argument that the great quarterback Tom Brady left because he's like, you know what, I'm done with all this. I want to get out there. I want to see what I can do on my own. And that's fine. Good for him. He deserved it. They both deserve it. They're doing the thing. But that's a culture in sports where it's amazing what happens if you don't care what gets the credit. Well, the same is true in our own lives, right? As we're trying to form ours, to create a culture of health, a culture that transforms in a very positive way, you really have to work together. You just do. Because if you're pushing and pulling against each other, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And too often our young people who are trying to be that catalyst for change, they are judging their success on the wrong things. And that's what culture is all about. So thanks for tuning in here on Archangel Radio as we work with each of you every day to change the culture in our daily lives. For Tom Riello, I'm Justin Costanza, and thanks for listening to Water Cooler Catechism.